Come on, Father, we thank you for this moment, God, that just does something in our hearts and our spirits to cry out to you and be reminded of your great love and how good you are, how powerful you are, and your goodness and your mercy. They do follow us all the days of our life. Father, I thank you for what this atmosphere does to our souls and to our spirits, that we come to be energized in your presence, to honor you and to glorify you and to cry out your greatness, and to know that, God, you love us with such a love. And Father, let our walk in a place to not have fear, but to be reminded of your love. In Jesus' name. Come on, church. Amen. 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 Come on, Miss Renee. My bride has got something. I asked her just earlier to just kind of pray over me. Excited. Come on, give me your lips. I love her lips. Did you see the hesitation? Not sure what that was about. I mean, I ain't even been home this morning for an argument. My goodness. I'm kidding. Love you, baby. What do you got for us? Preach it.
Amen. God is good. We just sang that God is our friend, and I just want to read from John 15, and it says, "You are my friends if you keep on doing what I command you. I did not call you servants any longer, for the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you my friends because I have revealed to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I have anointed and placed and purposefully planted you so that you would go and bear fruit and keep on bearing, and that your fruit will remain and be lasting. So whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give to you." Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just so amazing that God calls us friend. He's, you know, a wonderful counselor, everlasting Father. He is our Prince of Peace. And we can run to him. And today, I'm just praying. I'm going to pray with Sean and just over the service today. But I'm really praying that God would just reveal himself to you, each and every one of you. He's called us. He's chosen us and appointed us to be in this place. Wherever, whatever place God has planted you, you bloom, you grow there, and you bear much fruit for his kingdom. And so I texted this verse to my kids and to Sean this weekend, over this past week, and it's John 14:21. And I love what this says. It says, "Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them, and I will reveal myself to each of them." And I'm just amazed how awesome that our God, he is so close, like a friend. He's your friend. He wants to reveal himself to each and every one of us today. And so I just want to pray that God is going to reveal himself in a special way to each and every heart here. Amen. So we just thank you, Father. We thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you that it's the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We pray over Sean that you would anoint his tongue to preach your word, Father, that he would hear from you alone, Lord God, that you would give him words, Father, that God, that your goodness and your mercy would pour forth out of Sean's spirit today, Lord, and that each of us, Lord God, would just know without a doubt, Lord, that you are revealing yourself to us as wonderful counselor, Prince of Peace, our everlasting Father. We thank you, Lord, for those who need healing, Lord God, any sickness, Father, that you would heal, Lord God. You are our healer. And we thank you, Lord, that where two or more are gathered in your name, you are in the midst Amen. Of us. And so we give you glory. We give you honor today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, baby. Oh, my goodness. Love you, girl. Come on. Amen. Hey, come on. Again, welcome to Believer's Chapel, man. So glad to see you at our second service. If you're here live, if you're online, checking us out now or through the week, man, we are pumped that you would take the time, honestly, to get in the Word of God with us. We believe just the simplicity of God Almighty deserves to be worshiped because he is God Almighty and there is none other than him, that he loved us with such a love that he sent his only begotten Son to die on a cross that you and I may have life and have it eternal. Our Almighty God is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and he created you and I in his image and his likeness, and it is amazing and beautiful, and he deserves to be worshiped. We believe this right here is the absolute truth, and it is is God's word, and you and I, as followers of him, we ought to live it out and understand the commandments that he's given us to walk in such a way that is worthy to him. And we are so excited to see you here today in this place. And I believe this, man. I believe, if you've been at BC any length of time, you know we're not here to play games. We're not here to chuck a box on a Sunday. We're here truly to come into a place, to walk out of this place different from when we came in this place, challenged by the word of God, moved by the word of God. This book is alive and it is powerful and it moves us in a direction. Watch this. It moves us in a direction that's either towards him, or if we're not careful, it can move us in a direction that's away from him. Man, I'm begging God this morning that you would truly have an ear to hear and just a heart to respond to this, that you would understand where we're at today. And I love coming off of last week and coming off of the start of this little miniseries called I Know He Knows. And isn't it amazing that you come to a place that even a week, this week, man, how many times me personally has said, I know he knows? How many times personally have you honestly came to a place, and I love it, I remember my little buddy's hand, and he wrote that on his hand last week, just a little dude, man. He says, I know he knows, and he was all excited to show me that. And I have not forgot that little hand, and I love that we can walk through the week, say no matter whatever week we're having, no matter whatever circumstances taking place, I know that he knows. And I know that he knows all things. I know that he knows tomorrow. He knows next week. He knows next year. He knows the plan that he has for me. He knows if you're single. He knows the man that he has for you. He knows the woman that he has for you. He knows what this looks like. And you can walk in a place to say, God, I need to just trust you. And I tell you what, I've had a week that it's just one of those weeks that I was so excited to be here today, so excited to just on repeat in my spirit to say, God, I know that you know. And in that, it just does something. It does something to just bring you back into a place of confidence, bring you back into a place of confidence because of who he is. It brings you back into confidence. And I want to get into this today because it's amazing, amazing when you see that our God is faithful. And man, I was excited to start this last week, and I'm excited to get into it today and just the simplicity of a continuation of last week. And the season that we're in the chaos that we're in, and through this whole sickness and everything that's going on, you come to a place to just say, God, you're faithful. God, you know it all. God, I'm going to trust you. And I love where today we're going to go deep into how deep is his faithfulness. Well, is God faithful when? ... Sean, but what if this happens? Is God faithful when? ... What about this? ... Is God faithful? Is God faithful when I sin? Is he faithful when I've drifted? Is he faithful when I've stiff-armed him? Is he faithful? And we can go down this whole list of when we actually think, maybe, just maybe, God says, Sean, that's enough. I'm done with you. But today we're going to just, honestly, we're going to come to a place that I think this is going to stir something in our spirit to say, God, no, you're just faithful. You're never not faithful. Yeah, but what about, no, he's faithful. Yeah, but what if, no, he's faithful. Yeah, I know you say that, but what if, no, he's faithful. Yeah, I know, Sean, but what, you don't get it. There is a depth to his faithfulness. There's a depth to his faithfulness that when we understand it, we will understand. I know he knows. And there's one thing that I can truly trust in. There's many things, but one of the things that I can trust in is I know that he is faithful. In my failures, he is still faithful. In my wandering, he is still faithful. I find myself in a desert land, he is faithful. And what that does, watch this, church, it doesn't drive you away from him. When you know the depth of his faithfulness, it drives you towards him to say, God, even now in this, even now in this sin, you're faithful? Yes. Yeah, but do you know what I've said about you? Yes. Do you know how far I've wandered? Yes. Isn't it amazing that when you can come to places and I know he knows, you can never play hide and seek with God? When the Lord showed up to the garden and said, "Hey, Adam, where are you?" Like he knew exactly where they were. And I want us to show us an example. That's an amazing, beautiful picture of just, so that honestly, the enemy would love to get you to begin to question his faithfulness. The enemy would love to get you to begin to doubt, could he still love me? Is he still for me? Is he still with me? Is he still, and the enemy would love that question to come into your mindset. It is a mind game that the enemy wants to play with you. Say, is he still? And the answer biblically is yes, he is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. And I'm going to show you a deep, deep story today that shows there's so many times in the children of Israel, God's children, his hand-picked children, where you and I, maybe just you and I would have come to a place and say, oh, I would have given up on him a long time ago. God, are you seriously sticking by your people? When is it that God says enough's enough? And we find it in the children of Israel where they've been in captivity and they've been in slavery for 430 years in Egypt. And all of a sudden, you know the story. We've covered this for the last little bit, man. We've been talking about this because it's so powerful. It's so powerful to see even in the midst of all the crazy and in the midst of all the chaos, God is faithful and he sees us and he knows exactly where we're at. And you see where God told Moses, just a recap quickly, for God told Moses, hey, listen, it's time. It's time to set my people free. It's time that my chosen people are to be set free. 430 years in slavery, and it's time for them to be set free. Moses, you're the man. You go, Pharaoh. Say, hey, listen, God said, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, nope. Okay, well, plague number one. God says, let my people go. Pharaoh, nope. Okay, have it your way. Plague number two. God says, hey, let my people go. Nope. And we do this for 10 times, and finally, Pharaoh's like, enough. Go, be free, and then all of a sudden. And watch this. The whole point of this is for God to fulfill his faithful promise, the covenant, that he says, listen, I have a plan for you, and I have a land for you, and it flows with milk and honey, and it is the promised land, and I promised it to Abraham, and now I'm going to continue in that promise. It's time now to take possession of the land that I have already set aside. I've given it to you. It's promised to you. It's a covenant promise that I've given to you, this promised land. This will be your land, and it flows with milk and honey. So let's get out of slavery and get you to that place. So here, the 10th plague, they get released. And God has just shown himself strong. He's got pillar of fire at night. He's got clouds by day so that to lead them, show them where to go. And then all of a sudden they find themselves, their backs are against the wall with the Red Sea. And the army's coming against them. And God says, hold it, I got this. Red Sea splits, walk on the highway. We're good. It collapses, kills all the bad guys. God wins. Children of Israel, juiced, pumped. They're excited. They're going crazy. Woo! Our God reigns. He's so amazing, incredible. Then all of a sudden, they start complaining. And all of a sudden, God brings them right to this place of the promised land, 11 miles away. 11 miles away. 430 years in slavery, and you're 11 miles away. Now, I know some of you joggers. I don't know why you jog, but some of you joggers. I mean, that's a short, short jog for some of you in-shape people. God bless you. Hallelujah. I saw my man Dave Shirt, Mount Rainier. I went to the Adirondacks, and I climbed Mount Rainier in the Adirondacks. It was amazing. I'm kidding. It's not in the Adirondacks. That's amazing. Anyways, but you come to this place to realize the reality of how close they were. And all of a sudden, they turn their back. And you know the story. The Lord says, send 12 in. I've already given you land. Spy it out. Come back, and we'll go in and take it. So the 12 go in all excited. Oh, this is the land God showed us. This is amazing. This is our land. They come back. The 10 of them come back going, are you kidding me? The cities are fortified. God's like, I know. And they're these huge giants. We're like grasshoppers. God's like, yeah, I know. And the people are like, we can't take it over. 10 of them. How is it that 10 people convinced millions of people to not go in? When two are like, what are you doing? We've got this. We've got this. We've got this. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. But the ten are like, no, they're too big. And the two are like, what are you talking about? God said this is our land. Let's go. And you come to a place, watch this, to understand. To understand. God said, I brought you right here. And then God says, listen, for every day that you are checking out the city is a day that you will walk in the wilderness. And you could imagine even right there, God could have said, you know what? I've done so much for you. I'm done. Even at that point. But I want you to see this. Come on, pick this up with me in Deuteronomy 2. And this is an amazing kind of this is a one verse recap of our God who is so faithful. Even when there was this amazing deliverance, but yet again, they complained, again, they complained, again, they complained. There was a point that they complained so much that they wanted to stone Moses and Aaron and say, let's find us a new leader and take us back to slavery. And God says, you're going to wander for 40 years. And watch this, verse 7. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all that you have done. What? For the Lord your God has blessed you. And the word, watch this. The word blessed, it means abundant goodness. His blessings are abundant. His blessings are good. This means abundant in goodness. You got to see this, right? When the Bible says that he blessed you, that means there's an abundance of goodness, that our God is good. You got, watch this, watch this. For the Lord your God has blessed you. He's abundant in his goodness in all that you have done. He has known you in your wilderness. Through this great wilderness, these 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you and you have lacked no thing. Hold on, hold on. Wait a minute, wait a minute. We just looked at the mindset and the heart and the rebellion of his called chosen people. Plague after plague, miracle after miracle after miracle. He gets them to the place, splits the sea. It's amazing. They find themselves right before the promised land, rejecting God, building altars, serving other gods. At what point does God say, done? No, but even, I love the depth of this, because even in their 40 years of wandering, even in their 40 years in the desert, God says, listen, I have blessed you. I have been with you. And you have lacked nothing. Church, what is it when you begin to really understand that for 40 years, they walked in a desert wilderness. For 40 years, they walked in land. The Bible says that their clothes never wore out. Could you imagine that? Listen, listen, when you understand their clothes never wear out, for 40 years. And the Bible says that their shoes wouldn't wear out. Could you imagine having a pair of shoes for 40 years that never wore out? Renee buys me shoes and they last not very long. She's like, well, what did you do to your shoes? What do you mean? I wore them. And dude, there's shoe people here that you can, like, there's men and women, shoe people. There's guys in this place that are shoe dudes, and you got racks of shoes. And like, when you wear your shoes, they look like they're a brown. I'm like, oh, did you just buy those yesterday? No, I've had these things for a year. What do you mean? Like, how do you have shoes that look like that when you've had them for a year? I'm serious. I'll have them a month and Renee will be like, what did you do? What do you mean? I wore them. Like, they're shoes. They're going to get dirty. And there's dudes, I'm telling you. I was with my man just even this weekend. He had these brand new, I thought they were brand new, beautiful pair of shoes. They were incredible. They were white. They were amazing. I'm like, dude, new shoes for the wedding. This is amazing. He's like, no, I've had these things for months. Oh, actually, over a year, he said. I'm like, are you kidding me? Oh, I probably wore them six times. I'm like, dude, I don't know what to tell you on that. Those things, I wouldn't even buy white sneakers. But could you imagine wearing shoes on your feet that never wore out? Wearing clothes on your back that never wore out. Having food that would come from heaven. Having quail, which was meat, that would come from heaven. That he would hit a rock and water would be provided. Could you imagine a God who says, listen, I know your wanderings and I know that you're in the desert, but I have been with you and you have lacked nothing and I have blessed you. How? God, what did that look like? I love this. Turn to Nehemiah, please, because I want you to see the depth of this. We can talk about this, but I want to show you a Nehemiah account of those 40 years, right? We see an account here in Nehemiah chapter 9. We see an account where Nehemiah kind of goes over these 40 years. And man, my mind is like, oh man, God, at what point were you about to close the door? At what point were you about to say, enough's enough? Watch this. I love this. Verse 14. So you may know to them your holy Sabbath and lay down for them the commandments, statutes, and law. Though you, through your servant Moses, you provided bread from heaven for them in their hunger. You have, watch this, you brought forth water from a rock for them in their thirst. Bam, you hit a rock and all of a sudden, man, there's a fountain. I'd be like, I'm in, that's enough. I get it. Someone just hit a rock. And out of that rock, Niagara Falls, man. That was just like, what is happening right now? That's amazing. That's incredible. All I got to do is see that. Like, come on, when you begin to see how God provided in unbelievable, miraculous, incredible, marvelous ways where they hit a rock and water came out of a rock, I'd be like, wow. Yeah, but didn't you see all the plagues? I did. Didn't you see me, you know, spread the water so you could walk? I did. But the rock thing, that puts me over the edge. I don't know. Like, at what point are you like all in, right? At what point are you all in? You've got manna falling from heaven, right? You've got quail falling from heaven. You've got water from a rock. And you told them to enter in order to possess the land which you swore to give them. But they, our fathers, here it is. They acted arrogantly. They became stubborn. They would not listen to your commandments. They refused to listen. Did not remember your wonderful deeds which you had performed among them. And they became stubborn and appointed a leader to them to return to their slavery in Egypt. Church, how many times, honestly, do we come to a place to see God act in our lives and God acts in our lives and God acts in our lives and He acts in our lives and He acts in our lives and we come to this place? Where we act arrogantly and become stubborn. We would not listen to your commandments. We refused to listen. We did not remember your wondrous deeds which you performed among them. So they became stubborn and appointed a leader to return to their slavery in Egypt. At what point does God say, I have done so much for you? How many times are you going to turn your back on me? And I tell you, one of the amazing, there's a lot of beautiful, amazing attributes of God. And His faithfulness and His love, His grace. But we see something truly special here when you know God's patience, when you know God's long suffering, when you know that God has just put up with you and He has put up with me and all of my stupid and all of my wrong and all of my wandering. God says, I am long suffering for you, Sean. I am patient with you, Sean. I am patient with you, Sean. I am patient with you. Yeah, but God, what if, Sean? I am patient with you. What about now, God? Sean, I am patient with you. What about, Sean? What about now, God? Sean, I am patient with you. And you see this over and over and over through the story. It's amazing. Watch this. Here it is. But you are a God of forgiveness. Yeah, but what about all of this? And what about all of that? And what about, but you are, I love this church, that you are a God of forgiveness, gracious and compassionate. You're slow to anger. You're abundant in loving kindness. And you did not forsake them. I love this because it's covering God's faithfulness. God, you are faithful. How deep is your faith? When you are not faithful, God is faithful. When you wander, God is faithful. When you're in that desert land and you continue to stiff arm God, God is faithful. When you come to a place to realize, God, you mean you're faithful when? Yes, okay. What about now? Yes, okay, God. What about now? Yes, God is faithful in all of this, man. At what point in this whole story of His chosen people that God could have said, I am done with you. I'm done with you. I am done with you. Sean, I'm done with you. But no, He says, no, but you are a God of forgiveness. You are gracious. Isn't it amazing that the reality is this, is when you understand it, God could have said, I am done with you, but he didn't. When he comes to a place to have his grace and his compassion and his abundant of loving kindness, watch this. And you did not forsake them. That means he is faithful. And here's what faithful means. It means that he is loyal, that he is true, that he is sure. And when you come to a place to say, I know he knows. I know he knows where I'm at. I know he knows my wanderings. I know he knows my sin. I know he knows my suffering. I know he watches. I know he knows my doubt. I know he knows my concerns. I know he knows my struggles. I know he knows my addictions. Yes, 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 and yes. But what? But God is a God of compassion and grace and forgiveness. And watch this. I love this. And he did not forsake them. Even when, verse 18, even when they made for themselves a calf of molten metal. And they said, this is your God who brought you up from Egypt and committed great blasphemies. And you in your great compassion did not forsake them in the wilderness. Church, what happens when you and I come to a place to realize, God, you're faithful. Even in all of the screw-ups, even in all of the sin, even in all of the wrong, even in every direction that I've taken, even if I find myself in the deserts, in the desert, even if I find myself in the storms of life, even if I find myself into a place to say, God, why are you so faithful? The enemy would love this. Watch this. The enemy would love to get into your head. He plays head games, man. He would love to get into your head and cause doubt that God is faithful. He would love to get in your head and cause doubt to his grace. He would love to get in your head and cause doubt to his compassion. He would love to get in your heart and cause doubt to his faithfulness. And God is like, but I'm faithful. But I'm faithful. But I'm faithful. And church, what happens when you do? Well, honestly, when you come to this place to realize and you see this amazing picture of God's faithful, same God, yesterday, today, and forever. Right? This is an attribute of God that is unchangeable. You cannot change. God says, I am faithful. New Testament says, I'm faithful. Sean, even when you are faithless, I cannot deny myself. It is who I am. Church, what happens when there is a shift today that takes place that no matter where you're at this morning, no matter what's going on this morning, you come to a place to be reminded again today, man, God is faithful to me. Man, he will bring me to a place that I will recognize once again that he is faithful. Well, what happens if I had to bank on his faithful yesterday? What happens if I had to bank on his faithfulness last week? What happens if I had to bank on his faithfulness last month? You come to a place and say, no, even today, God is faithful. And I love this. Watch this. Verse 19, and in your great compassion, do not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud did not leave them by day, to guide them on their way. The pillar of fire by night, the light for them, which is in their way, which lit them in their way, which they would go. And where you are, watch this. You gave your good spirit to instruct them. Manna, you did not withhold from their mouth. You gave them water for their thirst. Indeed, for 40 years, you provided for them in the wilderness, and they were not in want. Their clothes did not wear out, nor did their feet swell. Church, what happens when you come to a place, even today, to see a story like this, a true story like this, and to know, is that the same God who has faithfulness towards me? And I want to just share this in closing, man. It's Psalm 91. Because I think this is so important because we see pictures of his faithfulness through all of Scripture. Old Testament, New Testament. And here's Psalm 91. You see this. I just want to cover this. Verse 91, verse 1. 91:4 will be on the screen, but I want to start in verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. And dwell, it means to remain. It means to stay. Can I ask you something, church? Have you wandered? Have you gone to a place where you know that you're distant from God? No show. Nobody else around. You and God. Have you come to a place to say, I'm done putting up with a show. I'm done putting up with this fake front. Man, I've come to this place to realize, God, in my own choosing, in my own selfish desires, I've caused myself, Father, to walk away from you. I mean, I've put on a heck of a show. come to church, raise my hand, great. As a husband, great. As a wife, but in my soul and my spirit, I know, man, there's a distance. There's a distance between us. And God, I want to close the gap. God, I want to close the gap. Watch what it says. For he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Isn't it amazing that you're here? Please hear this. When you're in a shadow, that means you have to be close, right? If you were be on stage and you were going to be in my shadow, that means you're this close to me. You're close enough to be in my shadow. I love where the Bible is referencing to be in his shadow means that you need to draw close. It means you are to be close to him. He who dwells, he who remains in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers me from the snare and the trap, for the deadly pestilence. Watch this, verse 4. For he will cover you in his pinions. He will cover you. And this is, again, referencing shelter. He will cover you in his pinions. Pinions is the eagle's wings. And under his wings, you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. His faithfulness. Here it is. His faithfulness. His loyalty. His being sure. Him being true. His faithfulness is a shield. And here, when we understand this, it's a shield and a bulwark. And there's two types of shields here. One is the shield. It might be like an arm shield that can be used for offense or for defense. It can be used for offense. It can be used for defense. But then there's the bulwark, and I love this because I love this picture. When I bank on his faithfulness, and I know that he is loyal, and I know that he is true, and I put my trust in his faithfulness, the Bible says that his faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. And the bulwark is this amazing, huge shield that you can stand behind, and it shelters everything within you. It is a complete cover. And when I see God, when I know that you are faithful to me, and I know that it even in my wanderings, even in my desert season, even when I've rebelled, even when I've stiff-armed you, when I come to this place again and again, that God, you pursue me. God, you pursue me. God, you pursue me. Why? Because God, you're faithful to me. You are a shield to me. You protect me. And when I know that, God, I can come to a place and say, it's time. It's time to know. The enemy can't, watch this. Here it is, we're closing. The enemy can't lie to me anymore. You don't deserve this. God doesn't love you. He's done with you. You failed. You missed it again. You don't deserve his faithfulness. Come on, I know that. When you come to a place that I know, it's called grace. It's called his grace for me. He covers me. He loves me. He has grace for me. I know I don't deserve it. I know that I've screwed up. I know where I've walked. I know my desert season. I know exactly where I'm at. And I know that I don't deserve this. But it's called grace. And I can bank, I can bank on his grace because he is faithful. I can bank on his love for me because he is faithful. I can bank on his forgiveness for me because he is faithful, right? He will forgive us. He is righteous and just and is faithful to forgive us of all of our ungodliness, all of our sin. He will forgive us. And when we know that, his faithfulness, when I know, God, you are faithful. God, you are loyal in your grace. You are loyal in your compassion. You're loyal in your love. You're loyal in your forgiveness. And when I list these things, man, I can come to places and say, I know that he knows. And he is faithful. For wherever you're at this morning, you come to a place to say, God, you are patient. You are long-suffering. Can you just bow your heads just for a minute as we close this and we come to a place. God, I know that you know. And whatever the condition of your heart is today. Come on, please hear this, because there's a shift that has to take place, and I can't do that shift for you. It has to be you allowing God to do a work in you where the enemy has pounded and the enemy has brought in lies and the enemy has brought in deceit and the enemy has brought in doubt, and he will lie to you. He's really, really good. The Bible says he's the father of lies. He's the greatest deceiver of all, and he will lie to you and he will manipulate you. He is mischievous. And just maybe you're in this place, or maybe you're online, and you're like, man, I can feel it. Man, I have been lied to, and I have really thought that God's love has left. I mean, I bought into the lie that I've done that one extra sin that just God has separated himself from me. I bought into that deception, man. I thought that this desert season was a place where God, no. In the desert, he says, for those 40 years, I was with you. I was with you. What an amazing example of his faithfulness. I was with you and you lacked nothing and I blessed you. You come to this place today. Say, God, I can bank on your love because you're faithful. God, I can bank on the plan that you have for me. God, if I breathe, you still have a plan for me. Come on, you got to hear this, because I think sometimes you think you can be outside of God's plan so long that you're never going to be ever allowed in to God's plan for you. God has if you breathe, God has a plan for you. Why? Because he's faithful. He is faithful. God has a plan for you. I know that he knows that plan. And I trust, my confidence is in his faithfulness. My trust is in that my God is faithful. Even in my wilderness season, my God is faithful. So where are you today in this? Where are you today in this? All heads bowed, man. Do you know Christ as Lord and Savior? Do you really understand that relationship? Do you understand it's not being good enough because we don't deserve it? We can't earn it. It's grace. For by grace, you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's a free gift of God. That you would come to a place to know, God, you are holy. And God, sin separated mankind from you. And there is this fix for sin called Jesus. And I need to depend and rely upon Jesus that he put himself on a cross for me. And God, I admit my sin. Jesus himself said, repent. Repent from what? We must repent from sin. Change our mind towards sin. Is your mind stuck on sin? Have you been lied to about sin? Have you been duped into sin? When Jesus himself said, you need to change your mind towards sin. You need to repent from sin and believe. Number one, we need to admit sin and we need to repent and turn from sin as God has called sin. We come to a place to admit, Jesus, you're the only answer. There's no other way except through you. Jesus, you put yourself on a cross for me. You bled and died for me on a cross as the sacrifice for my sins. And thirdly, you come to a place to confess that he is Lord. And that God Almighty raised him from the dead and he is alive today, sitting at his right hand. God, I admit my sin. I believe in you, Jesus. I trust you as my Savior. And I confess that you are my Lord. And I will follow you. And I will follow you. And I will follow you. And man, maybe you're in this place and you got stuck. Please hear this, man. Heads bowed. You got stuck in a place of the wilderness. And you bought into the enemy's lies. You're not good enough. You can't go back. God can't love you. Your sin's too great. Your sin too much. What happens today when you have this amazing, incredible, beautiful picture of the depth of God's faithfulness? Yeah, but what if? Yes, he's faithful. Yeah, but what if? Yes, he's faithful to love you. What if he's faithful to not leave you? What if he's faithful to never forsake you? What if he's faithful to have grace to cover? What if he's faithful to be compassionate and kind? What if? Yes, he's faithful. He is loyal. Come on, I'm asking that there'd be a place here today in Jesus' name that we would have a shift in our soul. To say enough is enough. I'm done listening to the lies of the enemy. I'm done listening to the doubt that is within my spirit. God Almighty, you are faithful and you are full of grace and you are full of compassion and you are abundant in loving kindness. And it is your desire to abundantly bless and be good and let your goodness and your mercy follow me all the days of my life. Come on, if you're in this place, all heads bowed, that you would come to a place to say it's time. To understand he is faithful. Just put your hand in the air, please. No one's looking around. Just put your hand in the air. Say, it's time. It's time. Let there be a shift. It's time. God, you are faithful. Father, I just pray, hands down. God, I just pray that you walk into a place that it is time within our souls to know. God, the enemy can't speak to us. We're not going to walk in a place of darkness. We're not going to walk in that desert season without us knowing, God, you are faithful and you've called us back to yourself. Father, your faithfulness is a guard for us. It is a shield for us. When we depend and we lean into you, Father, we know that it is your faithfulness that protects. It is your faithfulness that is a guard. And I pray that it would guard our minds, and I pray that it would guard our hearts, and I pray that it would guard our spirits, that we would come to this place even today in this moment right now to truly believe that God, you are faithful. God, you are faithful. No matter what season of life I am in, Father, your grace is towards me. Your compassion is for me. Father, your love covers me. God, you will forgive me because I bank that you are faithful and that you are loyal to yourself and that you are loyal to your word and you're faithful. Even when I'm not, you are faithful. In Jesus' name. Come on, BC. Amen. Hey, come on, as Olivia sings, if we could just stand to our feet and let's just let this thing sit in our spirit today. Come on. Amen.